Since many have undertaken to compile a narrative of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as those who were eyewitnesses from the beginning and ministers of the word have handed them down to us, I too have decided, after investigating everything accurately in you, to write it down in an orderly sequence for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may realize the certainty of the teachings you have received. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed a scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue looked intently at him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Today's reading is the most important reading in the whole Bible, we can say. The reason is Jesus himself is telling us the reason, the aim, the purpose, the mission for which he came into this world. Mission which begins in the heart of God, who sent Jesus Christ into this world to save every creature that is created in the image and likeness of God himself. So God sent his only beloved Son to this world, and God, Jesus, came into this world, and this time, in this reading that we have heard, Jesus is telling us why he came and what he is going to accomplish among us for our salvation. The teaching ministry of the Christian Education Institute is out to assist the church in accomplishing her ministry, her purpose, and the mission that Jesus Christ gave her. So Jesus' mission was to save that which was lost. We were included in that because all of us were lost because of the pride, because of the disobedience of Adam and Eve. So Jesus was convinced that he was able to fulfill his mission because God had anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Christ means anointed, and he is declaring that. As in his baptism in the Jordan, God the Father pointing to Jesus Christ from heaven, he said, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." And today Jesus starts to tell us what we have to listen. So one passage that speaks to us of Jesus' mission is the passage that we read today. So if we see the different points that Jesus told us, the first is, "I came to proclaim good news to the poor." There is much spiritual and moral poverty in our world today, as we know. Spiritually, most of us are poor. And morally, most of the people in our world are poor. So Jesus came to enrich us spiritually and morally. The economic poverty is also a very real problem around us. But if we are not motivated morally or spiritually, we can't help the poor. We can't help each other. What did Jesus do for the poor? He had compassion on the poor widow and raised her only son from the dead, because this son was the source of support for the widow's future. He healed the lepers so that they could return to their work. He condemned the rich who exploit the poor. On the other hand, we see that he praised the action of a poor widow who offered everything that she had. He did not prevent her from giving, nor does the Bible mention that he gave her any funds, but he enriched us with a spiritual gift. So the poor are not always poor. On the contrary, they are often rich in faith. We can see in many places of the world people who cannot afford to have a piece of praise, of bread, but they gather every Sunday and give glory to God. They sing songs for hours and hours, and they are happy, and they know that their Heavenly Father is going to take care of them. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom of heaven, is what James tells us. I know several people with significant economic needs, yet they are rich in faith and progressing economically also. They do not feel abandoned by God at all. They have faith. They also do the will of God, and that gives them satisfaction, and it is also a guarantee for their eternal happiness. The second point that Jesus outlined as his mission was, he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. In the Gospels, we do not read of Jesus freeing anyone from prison. So what prisoners did he free? Prisoners did he free? Prisoners of the devil, prisoners of sin, prisoners of spiritism, witchcraft, and mind reading. All these things are in which we are bound nowadays. So prisoners of sin and vice, the worst one that kills our soul, that throws us into eternal damnation. That is from which Jesus came to free each and every one of us. Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin, is what Jesus told us in John 8:34. It is with just the prostitutes, adulterers, tax collectors, who were considered sinners. He came among them to free them so that they will know the truth and the truth will set them, because he is the truth. Prisoners of wealth, prisoners of money, prisoners of mammon, that is what affects every creature in this world, every human being in this world. Wealth prevented the rich young ruler from following Jesus Christ. When he chose between his wealth and Jesus, he preferred his wealth, his temporary money that he had. Our mission is not only directed towards the poor, but also towards the rich also. They need to be freed from the love of money. Prisoners of tradition and legalism also. Jesus came to free us from this. Sometimes we exaggerate the traditions and the legalism, and we kill people to save the laws. That is the worst thing we can do. The religious in Jesus' day were bound by their traditions and laws, and they wanted to kill Jesus Christ for healing people on the Sabbath. That is the kind of legalism that we have to avoid. So if the Son sets us free, we will be freed from every bondage that is binding us. And the third is physical suffering. Recovery of sight for the blind. That is also another mission that he outlined. Jesus took an interest in people's physical suffering also. We believe in God who can heal us, body, soul, and spirit. And he does it even to this day. If we would go to the confessional, we will walk out healed, renewed, forgiven, and having a new relationship with God. That is the greatest healing that is accomplished. That's the greatest miracle that can happen in this world. Jesus himself will tell us, you are free from your sin, and will walk out renewed and freed from our sin. The first Christian church cried out to God for miracles and healing, and God answered. How many of us cry out to God for healing, body, soul, and spirit every day of our lives? God is the same God, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. If we open our hearts, if we trust in him, if we surrender our will to his will, the miracles that happened many years ago can happen right now in our situation. Sometimes he heals instantly. Sometimes it is a process. Sometimes he uses medicine. Sometimes he only removes the pain. But we can cry out to him and trust in him. The fourth element that Jesus outlined in his mission was, I came to set the oppressed free. Many are oppressed, distressed, and grieving. Some are socially oppressed. Jesus has compassion on the outcasts, lepers, for example. Do we have a mission to reach the outcasts in our society? Oppressed by sin and destructive lifestyles, these are the ones that we can help in our daily walk. Jesus restored the life of the Samaritan woman. The prodigal son returned to his father's warm, loving home. Many lives oppressed by pain and hearts of the past, childhood abuse, marital infidelity, and financial injury, all these can be healed if we come to Jesus Christ and humbly ask him to change our situation. Do we give hope and encouragement to their wounded and broken hearts? We are missionaries with Jesus Christ, in Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Each and every one of us is sent to participate in this mission of Jesus Christ. As the Father has sent Jesus Christ, Jesus sent the apostles, and the apostles sent also the bishops, and the bishops sent all of us. So we have to participate in this. Jesus said to his disciples, do not worry. Fear and worry do not allow a person to live a happy or abundant life. So we have to be confident in our life because we are connected with the power, divine power of Jesus Christ. God, in conclusion, he says, now is the year of the Lord's favor. That is the good news. And this is what the church, every 50 years, 25 years, we celebrate the Jubilees. So it is a Jubilee year. Jubilee year means a year of happiness, a year of seeing the past and planning for the future. So Jesus is telling us, in the old it was like this. So he is telling us the old situation. And if you are renewed in me, your future will be like this. This is a plan that Jesus said in this inaugural address he gave. So the teaching ministry of our churches should align with the mission of Jesus and the church. And each and every one of us must participate day in and day out with prayers, with dedication, with touching someone's life at work, at any walk that we are sent. Jesus is telling us to do something to bring someone to the salvation, to free someone from the bondage in which he is, to give a hope to those who are oppressed. So if we do this, then Jesus will tell us, what you have done to those people, you did it for me. Welcome into eternal happiness. May Jesus Christ, who came to this world to bless us, to help us, to save us, help us also to be a means of salvation to our brothers and sisters we meet. Amen.